The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Angry girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, my brother, me and advice show for the modern era. I'm your oldest brother, Justin McElroy.
I'm your middlest brother, Travis the McElroy.
But I don't want to record a podcast. But oh. I don't want to record a podcast today.
Oh, I see.
It's my birthday. I don't want to record a podcast today.
It's Griffin's birthday, except you're getting all the presents.
I want cakes and creams.
Oh, no. Not this again.
I want birthday cakes Lord and creams. Fauntleroy. I want candies and streamers and sticky, sticky toffee. Not a podcast.
Every year, and I'm sure you all have noticed it because we've been doing my brother, and me for about 18 years now. Every year on his birthday, Griffin becomes Little Lord Birthday, and it's a whole thing. He's done it literally since he was born. He came out of the womb doing it, and which was very troubling for everyone. And it's all about how it's his birthday, and he wants candies and cakes and creams.
Where are my Shetland ponies, Daddy?
And he needs the Shetland ponies.
And calls his daddy.
I can't play with the Shetland ponies if I'm doing a podcast, Daddy.
And he never wants to do a podcast. I remember, I think he was 6 years old when he first started saying, I don't want to do the podcast, which was confusing.
He was the first, historically speaking, is the first use of the term.
Yes.
Podcast was invented by Griffin when he was six and not wanting to do one.
Did the two of you even bring cakes and creams?
I sent you a birthday present. Did you get it?
I've not received a present from you, but the fact that you've said it's not cakes or creams.
It might be.
I sent a bottle of sparkling apple juice to your house. Did you get it?
Fuck, that's funny.
It's funny. You guys like Snull? That's what I call SNL.
Yeah, that shit's good.
Oh, you snapped Griffin out of it with your super funny joke. Good job, Justin. Yeah,
it was less a joke, more of a reference to an obscure Snull bit.
Yeah. I'm back. Yeah, I'm ready to do this one. I mean, it wasn't a joke. I would rather not be I'd rather not be doing it. I'd rather be, you know.
What have you got? Let's talk about the gifts. Gifts so far. What have you gotten?
I got a bottle of water with like a screw top lid from our business manager Amanda, because during the last tour she watched me twice open up the lid that has like a little hidden straw in it of my Contigo after being on an airplane with it, and it blasted me fully in the face like a clown's like flower. And strangers saw me do this, and so did Amanda. So she got me one that's a little more foolproof than that. What else? Daddy got me a Spider-Man statue. And then I just noticed that, Justin, you and Sydney have, gone in together on a classroom.
Yes.
You got me a classroom. And I don't know where, it says a gift of a new classroom, and I don't know what I'm supposed to teach in,
this is the great thing. It's a classroom in the Sudan somewhere, teaching impoverished children stuff, and you don't have to do anything. You just can bask in the reflected glow of knowing that there's good in the world happening in your name.
That is nice. But Griffin, can I tell you what I got you? It should have been delivered, I believe, like the 14th or 15th. Did I send it to the wrong house again? I might have. What? I was about to ask you your address, and then I remember recording a podcast for public consumption. Do you want to know what it is?
Sure.
It's a bidet.
Oh, Trav.
Yeah,
shouldn't have.
So it's like Justin got you that really nice classroom thing that helps other people, and I got something nice for your butt.
That's great, because the world has problems, and I love gifts like Justin's because it helps, you know, cater to those problems. But I'm also having a problem, and it's just my blighted bung has just been really a real issue for me lately, and I'm really happy for the immediate sort of salve that my favorite brother Travis has provided for me. So
excellent. But Justin, yours is very nice. I like how it helps people or whatever.
And let me say this, if you want to come one up him, because now we got a fight on our hands, and this is always how I got the best presents growing up. If you want to one up him, may I suggest cakes and creams.
Cakes and creams. I should have thought of that.
No, you can do both. Griffin, you can add it. It's an add-on. It's a DLC for the Sudanese classroom.
It's a tech. Yeah, that way everybody wins with that one. Yeah. With that one, everybody wins.
I get something, they get something.
So anyway, folks, thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're excited to get going. Happy birthday to you, Griffin.
Thanks.
So excited about
it's 30, it's 32 is the backwards Michael Jordan number. Boop, 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 boop.
Huge, huge. That's a massive milestone. Okay, here's a question. I'll be attending a Billy Joel concert, which is also his 70th birthday celebration. What if he tries to stop the concert until they bring him cakes and creams?
that sounds like something he would actually do.
Should I bring a gift? No. How do I get it to him? You can't. What do I buy? What do you buy for the piano man who has everything? And that's from Unsure on the Upper West Side. It's Billy's birthday, and that you get the present this year because Billy is bringing to you all of his great hits of the 50s and 60s and today.
What?
All of his hits. What's the spirit of the 50s and 60s? It's still rocking
the spirit
of
him. 50s and 60s through the lens of 80s, just probably really coked up in this.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys this. If you had the chance to get Billy Joel something,
yeah,
what would it be?
Tombstone?
Griffin.
It's irreverent. It's an irreverent humor that I like to do, my own twisted South Park humor.
It is irreverent.
I think I would get him the chance to switch places with me for one day.
Prince and Pop or that shit.
Yeah, take the pressure off him. Let me be the piano man for one day, and he can just be a man without all the pressure, without all the piano pressure.
You, Travis has just texted asking for my address. Just to update everybody.
That was just a private thing. I'm trying to send you a birthday bidet.
Here's what you could do. You could, okay, let me hit you with this.
Uh-huh.
Sit him down in a comfortable chair in front of a piano, right? And then you sit down at a different angle, and then you turn the piano towards yourself. And you say, no, 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 Billy, allow me. And then you play a version of We Didn't Start the Fire that encompasses all of his and then everything in that happened in the 30 years since We Didn't Start the Fire.
Oh, gosh.
And you do like an updated.
I think it's like, I want you to know, Joel, Billy, that you didn't start the fire, but I'm taking the fire. I'm picking up your torch and I'm going to carry it on for you. And I will continue to update this song that you seem unwilling to.
Title it, I Will Finish the Fire.
I will complete the fire for Willie Joel.
Now,
I will do it for him.
Did you just call him Willie Joel?
His friends call him Willie Joel.
Willie Joel Pianoman.
I would bet $1 million that this is not the first time we've talked about an updated We Didn't Start the Fire.
I'm almost certain. Yeah, almost certain. It is the first time, though, that I'm thinking critically about the song We Didn't Start the Fire, and it's kind of...
that's true either.
It's pretty shit, huh? It's not... If you think about Billy Joel sitting down at the old desk and saying, like, shit sucks right now, shit's getting really wild, and people need me, Willie Joe Pianoman, to really crack out a dinger for them that's going to help them soothe their soul and give them some artistic nourishment that addresses the issues of our time. I am going to write this song that is all about A, passing the buck to we didn't do it. And then also, in lieu of having a message to the song, I'm just going to say, I'm going to flip through some microfiche at my local library and just write down the words of things that I see there.
He did kind of write it like an eighth grader doing like a report on something he didn't really read, but just kind of read the back cover, like, Berlin Wall, JFK,
Leonard Bernstein.
I think he was a dude. He was there.
I am a little sad. I'm happy for his 70th birthday. Huge. Congratulations, Billy. It is a little sad, though, that we're in the last few weeks of him being 69.
And we haven't really used it enough, I would say. I would say we have not taken advantage.
of the fact that he is 69.
Yeah.
We didn't even talk about it, it feels like.
We could have referenced it so much more.
It is the law that when you are 69, you have to do it, that particular maneuver.
Oh, yeah.
More often. So I bet he really knows how to just wail on that harmonica, if you know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Griffin.
It's still Billy Joel. Sir Billy Joel deserves our respect.
Have you ever noticed how Piano Man starts with the harmonica solo? Y'all ever think about that? I think about that every time that goddamn song starts.
Yeah. How about a Yahoo?
I wish Billy Joel was funnier.
Wait, as a person or as a topic?
As a topic, I feel like Billy Joel is so buck wild in all his endeavors that he like deflects. Like, you try to make fun of Billy Joel as we have valiantly attempted for the past 5 minutes. And then Billy Joel's like, oh, good joke. Check this out. It's the video for River of Dreams. I did this one on me. So what do you have in the fucking tank? You have nothing. I am bulletproof.
So here's a Yahoo that was sent in by Jack. Thanks, Jack. It's Yahoo Answers user. Bobby. Bobby asks, if I'm a 14-year-old, that's a wild way to say it. I guess it's Yahoo Answers, so it has to be in the form of a question. If I am a 14-year-old and my family has a guinea pig, is he my brother or son?
Huh.
If I'm a 14-year-old and my family has a guinea pig, is he my brother or son?
Is it possible he's your Belvedere?
No, obviously. No. Obviously, no. Update. I understand that technically he is neither, since I am not a guinea pig. I think we're talking about structurally in the caste system of the family. You're drawing the family tree of from which branch does, you know, little Bing Bing Dangle.
Wait, who's Bing Bing Dangle?
The guinea pig.
His name is Bing Bing Dangle?
Yes.
What a great name. That's
where is he
name.
At? Where does he live? Is he a son or a brother to the 14-year-old?
He might be the 14-year-old's dad.
All right.
You don't saying, lose the dad position.
Why do we assume that he's equal or less than?
It's your brother. It's your brother. This is your new brother.
Ooh, like, I'm going to stick with you answer to the guinea pig now.
But if I'm the one that picked him out at the pet land or whatever, I don't know if they do guinea pigs at your local shelter, but if they do, obviously that's the ideal scenario. I'm pretty sure they sell these bad guys at Target. but if you're the one that picked him out from the Target lineup after shopping through Isaac Mizrahi's new collection, I think you're the father of this pig.
Hello, I'm Isaac Mizrahi, and these are my new gerbils. I'm selling them exclusively at Target. It's an Isaac Mizrahi branded line of guinea pigs. These rats are huge, and they are colorful, and they're going to awaken the goddess within you. I'm so proud of my new guinea pigs exclusively at Target.
You look like you could use a really soft rat. Here, try one of my chinchillas.
Try one of these socially acceptable rats.
yeah, this is the
well, first time somebody sees a ferret, right?
Yeah.
They think, oh, it's a long one.
Yeah.
Big old rat. Gonna put it on my shoulders. I don't see why that was what we jumped to. That seems wild to me.
Yeah.
That we would make a pet from the ferret.
A capybara, I would just go run and throw myself in the river and I would drift away until I found a new home that this big, big rat didn't live in.
I think that if you bring a guinea pig home, he's a roommate.
Huh.
Okay.
I think that he has his space where he's in charge. Right? Like,
okay.
If you go in there and you're eating his food, he's going to be really mad at you. And if he was eating your food, you'd be really mad at him. And that's not something you would say about a son or a brother. If Griffin and Justin looked in the refrigerator, I wouldn't be like, they shouldn't be in the refrigerator.
But
if the guinea pig was in the refrigerator, I'd be like, hey, that's my stuff, Brian.
Actually, if I got in Travis's refrigerator, he would probably tell me to get out of his refrigerator.
That's true. I watched the Punky Brewster episode. I know it's not safe to play in the refrigerator.
Well, I didn't have a safety concern in mind, but of course, yes.
Well, yeah, I would
certainly,
say Justin,
that's
get out
fine.
Of there. The door
I
closes,
cannot,
you can't get out.
I cannot tell you the number of times I've gone downstairs from my office to get a nice cold can of La Croix from the refrigerator and open it up and had to fish my dang oldest brother out of there.
Was there a time when you couldn't open a refrigerator from the inside?
Yes, absolutely.
That's a problem.
It's not an ongoing problem.
It just seems unlikely. Okay, let's talk about this. There is an episode. There's an episode of Punky Brewster where a child is in prison in a refrigerator. And I think it isn't covered, but this must be a very weak child. I cannot fathom how you could get stuck in a refrigerator.
Right? Do they lock?
Yeah.
Is that a thing where you were afraid of the meat getting out?
No, they had those like metal latches that would shut and it would hold the door shut, and they were only on the outside. So they'd have to remove the doors off these old refrigerators so dumb kids couldn't like crawl inside of them at the city dump. And then the good thing about that is ready to go hot and fresh coffin just like right there, I guess. And that's not ideal, obviously. But on the subject of if it is an ongoing concern, that would be wild, knowing what I just said out loud. If Mr. Frigidaire like had people coming up to him like, dog, you gotta do the kids are climbing into, they're playing Fortnite and then going to take what they call dumpster breaks, and they're climbing in the fridges and they are just getting just wrecked out there, and Mr. Frigidaire's not hearing that like yes.
Okay, so I've looked into this to clarify, because we all have a vivid memory of this like very special episode, the message of which was don't go in a refrigerator because you could get locked in. Okay, this used to happen back when, because it used to be that you could only open from the outside. And then they made a law in 1956 that you had to use the magnetic thing instead of a latch, right? So this Punky Brewster episode, released in the 80s, was about the dangers of playing in antique refrigerators? That is like, hey, y'all, the AIDS crisis was like in full bloom.
Yeah, we had lots of
stuff. Maybe talk about that?
Kids getting stuck in fridges! They was always stuck. Sorry, I'm just trying to think of how to update. Yeah. We didn't start the fire.
Well, Trevor, I don't think he does it in the chorus. I don't think he swaps out the chorus. It's like, let's really dig into the Berlin Wall.
If I'm being honest, I couldn't remember how the verses go.
It's just,
it bothers me that it was a very special episode that I'm pretty sure I watched, but maybe I just know about because I exist in the world and I hear people talk about things sometimes. And that has stuck with me more than most lessons I learned in schools, is that don't play in refrigerators, you get stuck in them, which is apparently a concern that not even my dad had to worry about when he was five.
Right.
So why are we
spending time on this
so well?
Okay, that's it. You can look at, there's an article on Mental Floss if you want to know more about this very special episode that you're probably, I would imagine 98% of our audience is completely in the dark on. But hey, here we go. We're getting on their case for talking about the dangers of a 30-year-old thing, and here we are talking about a 30-year-old episode of television for comedy's sake.
Oh,
so moving
God,
on.
You're right.
I work in a
This podcast is a refrigerator that I've been trapped inside of for 9 years.
I work in a quote hip office park, and we share a parking lot with another hip company. They have their own coffee shop.
Ooh.
In that parking lot, we also share a basketball hoop. A few weeks ago, we got a company-wide message that we needed to, quote, be respectful regarding the basketball hoop. Nothing further was said. 2 weeks later, we get a second message saying that we were banned from using the hoop due to an incident. No one in my office is talking about it, and I'm too scared to ask for fear of discovering some dark secret what the incident was and why we were banned. The most I got from someone was, ooh, someone was a bad boy. How do I go about discovering the truth? Is it worth the risk? This is from Detective Hoops in Hotlanta.
First, ooh, someone was a bad boy is not a piece of information, but probably just a guess or observation. Like, no one's ever, like, walked into a police office and, like, a detective office and say, what happened? And the detective's like, well, seems like somebody was a bad boy. What? No.
Wow, you really cracked this one wide open, man.
Oh.
Yeah, so
someone was taking it to the
yeah.
We are all agreed here. Someone was refusing to fake the funk on a nasty dunk.
Oh,
they were taking it to the hole.
Yes, they were doing some disrespectful dunks.
The other possibility is that they were doing nasty dunks, but when it came time for the funk to happen, they were kind of phoning it in. They were that's kind of thinking. And so it doesn't. You guys are assuming that somebody went boom shakalaka, the glass explode. I'm saying that maybe they were disrespecting the hoop, by which I mean they were doing super bad at basketball and embarrassing the sport itself, embarrassing the hoop.
Like they would go to dunk, but it was more just like they were barely like getting to the rim, you know, like they were kind of rolling the ball off their fingers to get it in. And people were like, no, you can't do that. You're disrespecting the god of hoops.
That was an impotent dunk, Jeremy. The folks
Funkier dunks.
The folks over here at Slick Beans, the folks over here at Cool Coffee, they get 9 feet high. They're so rad.
Slick Beans is the name of the company, but then Cool Coffee is the shop they have. Not related at all. Slick Beans does not handle actually any beans of any kind. It's just the name of the business.
You're embarrassing us in front of Slick Beans. You're banned from the hoop. Everyone is.
But I was trying my best.
Maybe this is maybe someone is playing a very high-minded game of D. Of basketball day. Oh, you are telling the other company that you were supposed to play that they, this is like high level. There's like the zone defense. There's like sort of man, you know, what man to man, sort of that defense. And then there's like emailing the opposing team to tell them that they're not welcome anywhere near the hoop.
There's small business on small business defense. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's our hoop, and we are formal. It's just taunting. Yeah. We're just formally letting you all know that due to some disrespectful dunks, you are not allowed anywhere near our home, which is the hoop.
You were dunking, but you didn't wash your hands first, and we saw that. So no, thank you.
I don't want
to. The ball was teetering on the rim, and you burped and blew on it to push the ball into it. No, thank you.
I don't want to dunk with no pee ball.
We saw Derek come out of the bathroom without washing his hands and then go straight to the parking lot and start dribbling. No, thank you. For all we know, he's already dribbled twice.
Yeah.
Maybe one company, like whoever, the TJ Maxx staff challenged.
That's a pretty hit business, Justin.
That's Dibble. A hit business. The TJ Maxx staff challenged Cool Beans to a basketball showdown. And then they told them that that was their hoop, and then that the other team didn't have a hoop because there was only one hoop. So the only hoop available was the Cool Beans hoop.
Yeah.
So then the score just got absolutely astronomically out of reach, and there was no more basketball allowed because of that.
And another possibility is that in an attempt to get a leg up on the Slick Beans, some select members of your staff, your coworkers, your cohorts did go out and steal the basketball energy from Muggsy Bogues and Charles Barkley and Michael Jordan, although he's playing baseball, so like, does he even still have it? And Sylvester Stallone, I mean, Sylvester the Cat, and Sylvester Stallone.
He voiced Sylvester the Cat.
He's got big, hey, listen, Sly. Fucking Rocky, he's got huge muscles. That's got to help you jump, yeah?
Well,
is it?
Actually, I was going to say he didn't do any jumping, but he jumps up and down when he gets to the top of the steps, and it's pretty good.
He's got big muscles on his legs to push the earth away to get up to the hoop, so.
Is it a problem that none of us have even theorized about Flubber at this point?
Oh, shit.
Should Flubber have been brought up before now? Maybe the hip company is like a Flubber. company.
It's a new Flubber company.
Yeah. It's the new Flubber company, they call it.
I'm
it's all
so
like shade grown.
Sick of it being so fair. This market is flooded with Flubber companies. There's just like a new one
every
day. Yeah,
but they're doing it. This is a new take. It's like organic fair trade Flubber,
farm to table Flubber,
ketogenic
farm
Flubber,
basketball shoe Flubber.
But to avoid like FDA prying eyes, they have to call their company something else as a front, and so they do Apple. That's what they've actually been this whole time.
Oh,
and I've got a whole dossier, and I've sent it to Justin and Travis many, many times before about how Apple does Flubber, and that
I'm gonna crack it open soon, bud. I promise. Yeah, your birthday, maybe that's our.
Yeah. Is it possible that you work for the Harlem Globetrotters?
Huh?
They have to have a storefront somewhere. Right? You can't be a business without a storefront legally.
I'm going to step in here though and say, I cannot think of a conglomeration that altogether throughout the history of time has been more disrespectful to the basketball hoop and the game itself and the people they play it. They will climb up on ladders and they will dunk, you know, confetti into the audience while another person scores a three from the concession stand. Yes. That is hugely disrespectful to this game.
It's cheating.
Yes.
It is cheating. It's cheating. How come no one has called the Harlem Globetrotters on their flagrant cheating?
They do a basketball jump over like five kids, and I didn't see my friend Michael Jordan doing that during his big game, the sixth game of the series that he did so well in. So, you know, I don't know.
One time I saw a Harlem Globetrotter put the ball under his jersey pretend he was pregnant and walk with it.
The junior.
And at no point did anyone say, you're not dribbling. You can't put the ball under your shirt. They just let him do it.
But then he said, oh, aren't I? And then his water broke.
Yeah.
And then they brought out a bed. And then over the next 12 hours, he pushed that basketball valiantly, slowly, bravely.
No epidural.
No epidural, just raw talking.
There was an epiduncle.
Uh-huh. Which is, of course, a basketball doula.
Yeah, and so it's just no juice, just raw dogging it. And then when it did come out, it was three-pointer. Extremely disrespectful display.
Very disrespectful, but also beautiful. But also, it was beautiful.
It was beautiful, but beautiful. Yeah, it was beautiful, little slice of life, and it was, you know, it's the circle of life, and that's great, but you got, you know, plus in on the basketball, and that's disrespectful, because that one's cashed. I don't mean to be, I'm not a prude. I've seen the majesty of this process IRL firsthand with my own special brood. But if you get placenta on a basketball, boy.
Because the little bumps on there, forget about
that
it.
That one's done.
Who do the Harlem Globetrotters play against?
The Washington Generals.
Yeah. Well, now here I am thinking this. Does Flubber have a placenta component in it?
That's why you're supposed to save the placenta, because they need it for Flubber. They will pay top dollar for some fresh placenta.
Hey, quick.
It's just quick placenta and cornstarch, really. Quick.
You can DIY. I watch a lot of YouTube videos. DIY Flubber.
Now you're gonna need some fresh placenta, nothing freeze dried, no powdered.
I'm talking about fresh, just fresh out the Harlem Globetrotter, just right out.
You know, on any other show, on any other episode of My Brother and Me, the news that the Washington Generals have their own website touting what a great season they're going to have and their all-new roster would be worth discussing. But I don't even know if it's... Okay, it is worth mentioning this. There is... Oh man, this is going to be a basketball themed episode of My Brother because we are going to have to discuss this currently. I want everyone to just join me over here at this webpage. If you're at home and you want to see what my brothers are about to laugh at,
oh my God,
go to washingtongenerals.com/cager.
That's CAGER.
You're going to meet Cager, what? The Globetrotter's biggest nightmare.
Oh my God.
Yeah. This image is a very tall man in a black hoodie with arms open in almost sort of a biblical pose. And he's most notably wearing a sort of black basketball mask.
Yes.
There's a quote here from Cager. We're edging into Munch Squad territory. Quote, I don't like the way the Globetrotters are always joking around and laughing on the court. Basketball is serious business.
Yes.
Says Cager with a scowl.
Right.
I am ready to release the beast and show how basketball is supposed to be played. I'm going to wreck some rims and wreck some dreams.
Hold on, Cager. Hold on there, Cager. Pump the brakes there, Cager, because I'm all about you showing the Harlem Globetrotters that the way that they treat the basketball and the sport is somewhat disrespectful, but you got to leave those rims for the next generation. So I appreciate where you're coming from, but you need to not become the thing that you are trying to fight in this world.
Now, it says here in this Cager article that he can drill shots from the four-point line introduced by the Globetrotters in 2016. So the Globetrotters are just like, hey, from now on, this line, you get 4 points.
It's disrespectful in ways that I couldn't even imagine.
Meanwhile, the Washington Generals say, okay, we have a 7-foot guy. We brought a giant in a black mask, and he's fighting for us. And there is a quote here from the coach of that team, which is maybe the most thankless position in all of sport. Quote, we might even sneak a 6th player onto the court when Cager is in the game. The guy can just hide behind Cager, and the refs will never see him.
Now I don't fucking care who wins. Let them destroy each other, and I'll mop up whoever's left.
You can't sink to their level, Cager. Cager closes with this. He minces no words when asked about his objective. My main purpose in life is to get the Generals that elusive win and wipe the smiles off the faces of the Globetrotters.
Y'all, I looked it up just to find out. The Washington Generals have beaten the Harlem Globetrotters at least 3 times.
Oh my God.
In 1954, 1958, and 1971.
It has to be a revolt from one of the Washington generals, each who was summarily fired after that. But this is a way to fucking go out. Like, oh no, you got a ladder. Dum, 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 swish. What are you fucking doing, Ronnie? What are you fucking doing, Ronnie?
I don't want to be there, though, on the day when Cager does get his elusive dream of destroying the Harlem Globetrotters, because he wins that game. They come back the next day. Globetrotters are like, guess what? We've all got Civil War sabers. We all took a vote on basketball rules, and now we've all got swords.
Yeah, we voted that it's legal on the court to kill Cager.
Yeah, if I can cut Cager's whole head off, I get 20 points.
We're dangling Cager's beloved uncle from a rope from the rafters of the stadium. And if the Generals win, we'll drop and kill his uncle. And that's a new basketball rule we came up with.
And the NBA sees that NBA tickets are starting to slow down. Tickets to the Harlem Globetrotters games are just going through the roof. So now the NBA's got to start dangling uncles. Oh, gosh. Should we go to the money zone?
Yeah, let's go. Oh my God, we have a new sponsor, and I'm so extremely excited to talk about Postmates. Okay, so who do you ask to bring you something when you don't want to leave the house? You could ask your friends, how many of those can you, you call Griffin? Mm. He'll drive up from Austin, no problem. But no more of that relying on brotherly affection. Just use Postmates.
Oh, it's no problem.
I know it's no problem for you, Griffin, but it is your birthday. So if you need a day off, here's Postmates. It's your personal food delivery, grocery delivery, whatever you could think of, delivery service 24/7. You don't have to go to the store. You can just download the app for iOS and Android for free. Browse local restaurants and track your delivery. They're the largest on-demand network in the known universe with more than 25,000 partner merchants. For a limited time, Postmates is giving our listeners $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days. And you can start those free deliveries right now and use the code. Just get the app and use the code MYBROTHER. I love Postmates. You know what I love Postmates is when we're on tour and I don't know the area very well. So if you're traveling and you just need something and you don't know how far away that something is or where the place is or whatever, Postmates is like a fantastic option for that.
Yeah. I apologize for laughing in the middle of that. That was a time release, half hour long delay from me realizing that my brother Travis had essentially sent a bidet to a stranger here in Austin. And I enjoy that very much.
Again, get the app right now and then use the code MYBROTHER and get $100 of free delivery credit for your first 7 days when you download the Postmates app. Get anything you need, anytime you need it, download Postmates and save with code MYBROTHER.
I would like to tell you about Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch, sheets, towels, what do you need? go to Bull and Branch. I just did a big old round of laundry, and I had, this is not a joke because I notice things like this, gosh darn it. I was folding some Bull and Branch towels, and I thought, these still feel brand new, even though I've had them for like a year. And that's just a testament to the quality that Bull and Branch brings, because they use 100% pure organic cotton, and it's signature soft sheets that start out luxurious and only get softer over time, which I can 100% vouch for. And Bull and Branch products have thousands of five-star reviews. It's incredible. I'm a big fan. Highly recommend. People are at the heart of everything they do, from farmers who grow their organic cotton to the people who sleep on the street at night. All right. And they offer a no-risk 30-day trial and free shipping in the U.S. So to get started right now, our listeners can get $50 off your first set of sheets at bowlandbranch.com, promo code MYBROTHER, all one word. So go to bowlandbranch.com, that's B-O-L-L, andbranch.com, and get $50 off your first set of sheets with promo code MYBROTHER, all one word.
The Greatest Generation is a Star Trek podcast that destigmatizes the very idea of having a Star Trek podcast.
We're Ben and Adam, the hosts of The Greatest Generation, and the technology we've developed is that nobody knows what you're playing in your earbuds.
You know, with legalization, it's easier than ever to find out what's in your buds. But we suggest that you legally find The Greatest Generation wherever you download your podcasts.
We'll send it to you in a discreet, unmarked package, and nobody has to know but us.
That's The Greatest Generation, the Star Trek podcast that you didn't know you needed, yet makes you feel like you belong.
So, y'all want another Yahoo? I felt that.
Yes,
one.
Griffin, I would like another Yahoo.
All right, this Yahoo was sent in by Graham Robach. Thank you, Graham.
Oh, I love Yahoo Answers user.
Stone asks, and this one's really fucking funny. This one's really going to bust guts and nuts in the audience tonight.
You say this one's going to bust a nut?
It's guts and nuts. This one is so funny. It would lay low even the big man, Cager.
Oh, corn's here.
What a munch!
Squad.
I want a munch.
Squad.
Doom, knock, boom.
Welcome to Munch Squad. It's a podcast within a podcast that I feel like is in its twilight years. I feel like, and not to be sad, and there's still plenty of Munch Squad on the horizon, but I feel like we're probably round the bend on people being so buck wild. I'm not going to say it has anything to do with Munch Squad, but I'm not going to say that I did not kill this particular golden goose. Okay. But we've still got a few left in us, and I just want to bring it home strong. I do want to give everybody real quick a quick Munch Squad Junior with the update. Welcome to the family, Carl's Jr. Testing a CBD burger
in
Denver on 420. First ever quick service restaurants to introduce a CBD infused item. It's named the Rocky Mountain High Cheeseburger Delight. And that is the CBD.
It's CBD. There.
It features two charbroiled patties with the signature Santa Fe sauce infused with CBD. Pickled jalapenos, pepper jack cheese, and crisp-cut fries right on there to give the burger the extra crunch.
That's easily the weirdest part of the whole burger, I would say.
That's the weirdest part of it. Listen to this. The new menu item will be available at 4050 Colorado Boulevard, Denver on April 20th. Yes, that's right, 420. Beginning at 6 a.m.
Ooh.
Hey! Hey! How's the morning going? Huh. Pretty good. I just ate I ate a weed hamburger at 6:30 a.m. So I feel like the day's off to a good start. But that's not what I want to talk about today. I got big news from DQ. They've just unveiled a new tagline.
Oh no, that's the worst. That's the worst thing they could have been unveiling.
Yeah, they're unveiling a new tagline. Here it comes. You ready? Happy take good.
Oh my god, it's already really great.
Happy tastes good.
Huh.
Happy tastes good. Good happy taste. Mm. I guess daddy like was taken. So now we got it. Happy tastes good.
The cakes and creams taste happy.
Good.
Good.
With happy taste, good. Good taste?
No. Comma, happy tastes good. End of slogan. Happy tastes good. With fresh deals, sweet new treats, and crave-worthy eats that make any meal feel like an indulgence. Because it is. I mean, folks, you're eating at Dairy Queen. It is an indulgence of a sort.
Yeah.
It is reinforcing that it's a smile above the rest and a destination for happy moments and memories. And diarrhea later, presumably. To celebrate happy tastes good.
It's great every time.
What a great sentence.
Someone was paid for. There's new sundae toppings, like rich choco chunks, crunchy praline pieces, and smooth, I swear to God it's called this, smooth midnight fudge.
Oh my God.
A little bit of that midnight fudge. A midnight fudge. So they got a deal. And Maria Hokinson, who's the something there, says, we love being at the center of our fans' happiest memories. The center of my happiest memory? Why, it's a meal at Dairy Queen. Whether it's toasting to a team win, celebrating a birthday, or simply treating yourself to make the everyday just a little more special. Fuck, man. I just thought of somebody that tried to make a boring day more special by eating at Dairy Queen, and it's the most depressing thing I've ever heard in my entire life, but happy tastes good. It's about the joyful moments you experience when you visit one of our restaurants, from the first bite to the last spoonful. The last spoonful here is either the last spoonful of your food or the last spoonful before you realize that you only have the one human body, yeah. And what are you doing to it, and you have to go. Now, here's the wildest part about this release. To prove the DQ brand really is in the business of happy, ADQ, that's American Dairy Queen Network, I guess, commissioned a national consumer survey, which found that. Okay. By the way, if you want to preserve numbers as something that and statistics as something of a constant in your life that you rely on to become more informed or that you find any use or value in them, please stop listening now because Dairy Queen is about to strip that away. 69% of the of the people surveyed believe that having a blizzard treat is a happier way to start the summer than activities such as taking a road trip, 43%, wearing shorts, 40%,
what?
Or cannonballing into a pool, 29%.
Oh my God.
What? What was the structure of the question asked?
What is the structure of that fucking question? Because I added all your numbers and you're fucked. It's all fucked straight to death. Okay? That's all fucked. 69% of people believe that having a blizzard treat is a happier way to start the summer than wearing shorts.
Did you just ask people, like, would you rather have some ice cream or put on some shorts right
now? You, what would be a happier start to your summer? Eating ice cream in slacks or wearing shorts?
I imagine they only asked 10 people. What's a better way to start your summer? Eating a cool, refreshing blizzard treat at Dairy Queen smiles taste good? Or wearing some fucking shorts? Is that a good way to start your summer? And 4 people went, shorts, I guess. And the other 6 people went, rightly so, what the fuck are you talking about? Time to pull on my shorts. Ah, it's June 23rd. Let's go.
You can't put on shorts. Like, okay, these people who said, okay, of all those, I think the best start is cannonballing into a pool. Cool. Are you doing that in slacks? Are you wearing jeans and cannonballing into the pool? No, you're not.
I would also, maybe they like literally held up like a blizzard and said, do you want to eat this? And then they held up a pair of shorts and said, or do you want to put on my shorts? And people were like, I guess I'll eat the blizzard. Like, I thought so.
Do you want to take off your clothes right now in front of everyone here in Times Square and put on these shorts? Or would you rather have this refreshing blizzard treat? And guess what? I'm going to one-up that shit. It's covered in smooth midnight fudge. Can I do neither?
All right, how about you eat this?
About my day?
You eat this, or I push you into a pool. Like, please don't do that. Or I'm going to put you in the trunk of this car and drive you across the country. Please don't do that.
I'm not done. Okay, listen. 56% said dipping a DQ chicken strip into sauce feels like a group hug for your taste buds.
Wow. No, they didn't.
They agree. They checked a box next to that sentence that Dairy Queen wrote.
Right. Yeah. But that means that 44% of the people just stared at the question asker in silence. Like, what could that mean?
What?
What could that possibly mean? Trump is president. What are you talking about?
There's real things going on in the world. You're wasting my time.
What on earth are you talking about? The last statistic they have here, 53% said a trip to a DQ location is as happy as finding $20 in your pocket.
Wrong.
What on earth could that mean? You can, if you find the $20, you could go to Dairy Queen with it.
Yeah.
What on earth? What on earth do you mean?
The cycle begins anew. History repeats itself.
Apparently.
How about a Yahoo?
Yeah, please.
This one's sent in by Graham Roebuck. Thank you, Graham. It's from Yahoo Answers user Stone, who asks, spiders in my house?
Oh, no.
I'll get rid of. Like Minecraft? Spiders in my house, I'll get rid of, like Minecraft.
It's to burn your house down.
Well, I mean, maybe that's what Yahoo Answers user Jahara meant when they responded, put torches. End of comment.
Okay.
I like efficiency in language. You can figure out what they mean from that. Just put torches.
Put torches. Torches.
Around no spider.
Them? On them? Near them? So I have a whole bunch of these little creepazoids in my house, and they want to catch me up in their net and suck me dry. Uh-huh. So I do want to get rid of them, but I do want to do it like Minecraft. I've been honing the.
I don't think that this person. Just, I mean, it's all phrased very strangely. I don't think this person is necessarily saying, I want to get rid of spiders in my real home in the same fashion that I dispose of these little bastards in the game Minecraft.
You don't think that's it, Justin? Because that's exactly how your boy took it.
That's hit at me. That's how it hit me,
no,
too.
No, yeah. I think this person is saying, I think the like Minecraft here is meant to indicate, I should have clarified when I began the question. This is written regards to the video game Minecraft.
No, Justin, I'm sorry. I'm going to put my foot down here and say that they're saying I would like to get rid of the spiders in my house like I do in Minecraft.
Yeah, so if you don't have anything fucking helpful to say, go record a Sawbones or something, okay? Because Travis and I are dialed in here.
You got two out of three brothers telling you that this person wants to Minecraft these spiders.
And I'm here to tell you, you find out where the spiders are, and then you go to where that is, and you punch the fuck out of the cube that they live in until that part of your house explodes.
Yes.
That's it. I mean, that's one of many ways to do it.
What else are you going to do? I guess you could carry around, I don't know, like bricks or like cinder blocks or something and like stack them on top of the spider. Does that work in Minecraft?
It does. Yeah, that'll goosh them up real good. And then you can take that and you can build a spider guts wall out of it for a pervoid house. For a weirdo who wants to live in like an HR Giger sort of nightmare zone.
Well, here's some things to keep in mind, apparently. The spider is a neutral mob. That means that it will only attack you during the day in survival mode if you attack it first.
Uh-huh.
But it will always attack you at night in survival mode.
They get moon horny.
Is this an option to just avoid them during the day and just sort of like stay closed up in your spider free room through the evening? Well, is that possible?
You don't even have to be. Yeah, you can. You don't even have to avoid them during the day. It sounds like you guys can like chill in the house and like go out and talk, and they can give you sex advice like Joe's apartment. And then after that, but then you're like
bringing hot.
Yeah, dog, we are fucking crushing
cultural
it.
Cultural reference.
So the spiders are like, yeah, you got to hit it from the back. Bleh. And then you're like, oh shit, guys, it's 6:42. I better go board myself up. And they're like, yeah, man, get to it. You know how we get. Bleh. Boy, I wish I hadn't conjured the specter of Joe's apartment.
It's just there, isn't it?
It's just there. It's in my there. It's in my mouth.
Jerry O'Connell hovers above your computer now.
He's just watching me.
Hoping you'll reference him two more times and bring the remake to life.
So that's one option.
I hate my book club.
Oh.
I thought it'd be cool, but it sucks. I've been in it for 6 months, though, and it's a really small club, so I feel bad about bouncing, especially because they've talked about how grateful they are that I've joined. Any advice on the best way to leave without looking like a dick? What excuse can I give other than I don't like your company or opinions? We only meet every 6 to 8 weeks, so I'm really busy seems unbelievable. And that's from Looking to Leave in L.A.
This book club must be the absolute pits if in 6 months, that means you've met at most, what, like five times?
Four and a half times.
And you're like, I can't anymore. I had an obligation that required me to only remember it every 2 months, oh, that would be heaven.
Can you start inviting a lot of dope ballers to your book club? And it's in like a lot of real hip cats. And you get them to come to the book club and just sort of dilute, sort of buy out the shit, dilute the shares of the terrible people until it's a cool book club. Is it a voting out situation? I don't know. I've never been in a book club.
I see.
That's good. You could also just kind of dip. And that's my jam, is that if you are doing something you don't like doing, you dip on it, because best case scenario, they don't actually care that much that you took off. And worst case scenario is not really a problem anymore because you dipped, didn't you? You dip and you have more time to do cool stuff and hang out with people you enjoy.
Oh, and when they call to check on you, just say, like, I finished the book.
I finished the book. So I thought we were all working together to try and get through War and Peace, and I beat it. I beat the boss, so I don't need your help anymore, guys.
Yeah, we're done, right? Isn't that what? And then act very confused. And then, I don't know, tell them another book club invited you over and you liked the book they were reading better. And it has nothing to do about them. You've just always wanted to read Animal Farm, and so you had to go.
Yeah, I am distrustful of a person that can't come up with a great lie every 6 to 8 weeks. Because I can crank out a bad boy. I mean, I'm doing this on the daily, coming up with the excuses to not do things. I think it is suspicious that you can't cook one up every 6 to 8 weeks. Because I could definitely come up with shit I am doing if I was only called to do that every couple of months.
You could also come dressed up with a sheet with eye holes cut out in it, and you walk in and they're like, why are you dressed like that? And you'd be like, it's time for me to be honest. The whole time I thought it was Boo Club, and I came here the first time thinking it was Boo Club, and I was too embarrassed to say anything about it. But I'm here now, and I'm just a guy in a ghost costume standing before a group of people whose opinions I don't respect, saying, do you want to transform this into a Boo Club? Because if not, I'm Gonzo. Maybe you guys will have better opinions about ghosts and paranormal stuff.
I love your company. I can't stand reading, and I also love fighting. So I want to turn this into a fight club. And is that an option that's even on the table that we can talk about? Because I would love that. Who wants to destroy something beautiful with me? Come on, let's do it. Let's start with the book club.
Not seeing any hands. Shoot.
Okay. I'm going to start a fight club outside. Anyone who wants to join me, I will be on the porch during your book club meetings.
Who's still doing book clubs? Like, who's still, if you really want to bounce some ideas off the meaning of this shit, like, hack into some accelerated reader tests and take those online and then get good points that you can spend at Pizza Hut or whatever.
Something.
Just call the author. Did I get it right? You got it right. Awesome.
Thank you. Cool. Thank you, Mr. Salinger. Sorry to bother you.
Sorry to have bothered
That's
you.
That's okay. No one ever talks to me. I was so lonely. Why doesn't anyone ever want to talk to me?
Was the catcher about difficulties of childhood youth?
Yes. I was drunk when I wrote it.
Yes, I think so.
Yes, you got it right. Hey, do you want to hear? I've got the first few chapters of Catcher 2 done. Do you want to hear
the pitcher in the rye?
You actually got it better than me. You knew it better than what I thought. You've got it. I'm passing it down to you now. Now you're the Salinger. And he takes off his ring and he turns into bones.
What's really sad is I know you meant a skeleton, but the first thing I thought is like Emily Deschanel from Bones.
Ah, Trav, that doesn't make any sense.
I know, but I'm a real character.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast, My Brother, Me, an advice show for the modern era. We hope you've enjoyed yourself. Sorry about all the very obscure references this time.
And a lot of placenta talk there.
For a lot of placenta talk. Just some recommended reading for this week's episode. You can Google Billy Joel and Google
Cager, the Washington Generals monster. Yeah.
Joe's Apartment, which was
article about that Punky Brewster episode.
Joe's Apartment was a movie based on, what was it, like a skit. It's a short, it's like between show, like commercial, basically on MTV. It's wild. Okay, but it is a movie they also did. Roger Ebert wrote at the time, Joe's Apartment would be a very bad comedy even without the roaches.
Wow, okay.
That's wild.
Really tying their arms behind them there.
Yeah, right. It wouldn't make much sense, I would guess.
It would leave more room for O'Connell to stretch his wings, to really get out there and strut his stuff.
His acting wings. We have new, I don't know if we talked about it, but we mentioned it last time, but now they're on sale. We have a ton of shows that have gone on sale recently. My knowledge of, like, see, I'm going to look at that to tell you all how those shows are doing. Hold on one second. Okay. We're going to be in Cleveland, Cincinnati, Nashville, Indianapolis, Atlanta, Orlando, Washington, D.C., Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, Brooklyn, Chicago, and Minneapolis. You can find all those at bit.ly/becomethemonster because it is the Become the Monster tour. I know some of those have already sold out. I'm pretty sure, don't quote me on this, Pittsburgh and Brooklyn and maybe Minneapolis have sold out already. So please, if you would like to come see us, tickets are going fast, so please don't wait. Go to bit.ly/becomethemonster and buy tickets to those shows so we can see you. Some will be the Adventure Zone shows. Most are my Bim Bam shows, so please come see us.
Also, we have a ton of merch. If you haven't checked it out in a while, we're trying to put new stuff up every month. MacRoyMerch.com. You can also just head to MacRoy.family and see the merch listing there and all our shows there and all that stuff.
Thanks to John Roderick, and the Long Winters, man, for the use of our theme song. It's a departure off the album Putting the Days to Bed. It's going to do you right no matter what time it is. And, thanks to Maximum Fun for having us on the network. And thank you to you for listening and for supporting us however you do, unless you don't. And that's okay, too. It's not preferable. Do y'all want the final Yahoo?
Of course. Sure.
This one's a real stumper. It was sent in by Mike. Thank you, Mike. It's from Yahoo Answers user Eva, who does ask, how do people in pie factories know which box or wrapper to put on a pie if they can't see what's inside of it?
Yes.
Damn, that's good. I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been my brother, and me. Kiss your dad. Square on the lips.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
And so I have to write material that makes sense and makes people laugh. I also have to think about what I'm saying to people.
If I kick your ass, I'll make you famous.
The fight to get LGBTQ representation in the show.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
I really just became a political speechwriter by accident,
realizing that I have accidentally pulled my pants down.
Listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
It's like if the guinea pig was complicit in helping the scientist.